T-minus 17 to episode 1000. It's Thursday, October 2nd, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central. This is show number 983, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Get a WordPress builder site, domain name, and an Outlook email address for just a dollar a month for 12 months, or pick up a domain name for just $1.49. All my specials can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Hey, Show, got a great lineup for you tonight. Lots of stuff to talk about. And it's just absolutely kind of crazy here in Hawaii. We had a little bit of a Ebola scare. We'll talk about that and more. Of course, all the tech you can handle here. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
I want to give a very warm welcome to all the Ohana. I want to welcome you all to the show. And for all of you that are brand new to the podcast, I want to welcome you as well. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from a very late evening here in Honolulu, Hawaii. And the weather has just been absolutely weird. But at least it's not 100 degrees in the studio tonight, at least yet. But I got a great show lined up for you tonight. And of course, I think as we get closer and closer to getting to episode 1000, I'm starting, well, for a better word, starting to reminisce a little bit. And I'll talk about some things I've been doing here recently in preparation for not only our 1000th show, but also the 10-year anniversary of doing a podcast. All right, so just real quick, hey, of course, if you're new to the show, I definitely want you to get subscribed. And it's real easy to do that. All you got to do is come over to the website at geeknewscentral.com, and you're going to find there, and really in living color right on the website, the ability to get subscribed to the show. And we would like you to do that via iTunes or via, if you're on Android, please grab one of the podcatchers that are available. I like Beyond Pod is the podcatcher I like for Android. And just click on the RSS button on the website. That'll get you, with the headset, that'll get you the audio program subscribed to on your Android device. Of course, you can just come to the website and watch it as well. Of course, if you're impatient and waiting for me to get the video up, you can actually watch the show live at live.geeknewscentral.com, which we're streaming at tonight, that YouTube embed. As soon as the show's done, YouTube does a little bit of work with it, and it's ready to be viewed. But usually I have the video portion of the show up a few hours after the show, but the audio stuff goes up at the time of the show posting. And really the way to keep connected is by being signed up for our newsletter. The newsletter allows you to get all the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. It's a one-way newsletter. You're not going to get a bunch of chitter-chatter on there. So we definitely want you to consider signing up for the newsletter as well. Links on the website as well. Of course, you can reach out to me via email. That's the easiest and best way to do geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter as well, at Geek News. And make sure I got the right little screen here loaded up so I don't push the wrong button. There we go. So, but I tell you, I really have been thinking a lot about, you know, where we've been together with this show. And some of you have been here for single and double digits. And it's been quite a ride. It really, really has. And I had a article that was due yesterday for the Podtertainment magazine. This will be my 8th article that I have written for them. And I'm sure most of you that listen to the show don't read that particular magazine. If you do, if you have an iOS device, you can subscribe. Just search for Podtertainment on Google and you'll find the links to it. But I write a piece every month. It's usually 1,000 words or so. And really, I kind of was doing this like I got in this mode of like reminiscing and thinking back, and I wrote probably what I would say is my best written piece ever for, you know, a couple page story. I have a gal that works with my team that does copy edit stuff for me because I definitely want you know, the I's to be dotted and the T's to be crossed in those particular articles. And I said, Kathy, I'm sharing this with you. I usually share it with two or three other people because sometimes it's got technical information in it, but this time it was just me. And I said, and I want to make sure that the article remains in my voice. And at the same time, this would be a little different article than I've ever written before. And she replied to me within about an hour, and she said, oh my goodness, she says, I learned a whole bunch of stuff, and that was good. So I'm excited to be able to share that with you. Now, the magazine comes out on the 15th. I'll give the magazine subscription guys a few days, and then I'll post that particular piece up online. Most of you are going to hear what I wrote on the 9th. You know, that's a short 7 days from now when we are at our 10-year anniversary. And I'm going to kind of go back and talk a little bit about, you know, where we've been with this show over the past 10 years. So I don't want to give anything away, but it really kind of has got me in this mode of really thinking about where we've been and where we're going to go. And I'm pretty excited about the future for this show. I really, really am. And, you know, really, you guys are why I'm here. And I love your feedback when you send it to me and your comments, positive and negative. It's always greatly, greatly appreciated. And, you know, you're the reason that this show has done as well as it does and has allowed us to do what we do. And even though, you know, I'm going to talk about GoDaddy here in a few minutes, without you supporting a sponsor, you know, I'd have to get a 9-to-5. So I think that's critical here. But anyway, let's take care of a little piece of business here, and then we'll get into kind of my other stack, and then we'll get into the full-blown show here. I know we went long on the last one. I'm just going to kind of freewheel it here for the next couple of weeks, and the show's going to be what it is, where it's going to lay, and I hope that all of you will be along for the ride as we do these next 17 shows or so together to get to 1,000. Of course, this show is sponsored tonight in part by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy's been with us for 9+ years and really making things happen here. And they've got some great, great deals. And this month is no exception, $1.49.com. And if those of you that are watching the video, it shows a gal holding a tablet up and going like, yeah, screaming, yes, $1.49. You cannot get a .com. Cheaper than that. That is the best deal on the planet. It really is. Plus, 30% off. We've got these 30% off codes. It's just absolutely crazy. 30% off all new orders. And if that doesn't, you know, if that doesn't get your juices flowing, nothing will. I'm sorry. But GNC30 is the promo code to get you 30% off on all new orders. Geek149 gets a .com for $1.49. Now, we've got some other promos, too, and I talked about it right at the beginning of the show, where you can get a domain name, website builder, Microsoft Outlook email address for $1 a month. For $12, you're going to get all that for a year. $12, a domain name, website builder, Microsoft Outlook email address. GNC God is a promo code. And we've got still got these $1 a month WordPress hosting, $1 a month economy hosting, 50% off regular hosting plans. You name it. We got a stack of stuff for you here. And whether it be GNC 30, Geek 149, GNC God, Press 4, Geeks 12, 50 Host 7, 50 WSB 7, all of these codes can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We want you to go over there and grab a domain name, grab a hosting account, give one as an anniversary present, give something to your kids to build a legacy. Hey, you know, you got some teenagers in the house and you want to, you know, try to get them to be a little more creative. You know, they're on Instagram, they're on Pinterest, you know, all these sites. Get them a domain, buy their name as a domain name, set them up a website, hand them the keys and say, go, and you never, ever know what's going to happen there. So, lots of ways to get people online, get connected, and you never know what you'll be able to create through the gift that you may give as a gift of hosting or a gift of a domain name. I want to thank GoDaddy for being, again, a sponsor for a long, long time, and your support of them is greatly appreciated here in a big, big way. All right, so let's talk about just a little bit about Ebola. Yesterday evening or yesterday afternoon, we started hearing rumors that there may be a Ebola candidate. And I guess I'd like to use that word, basically the hospital here, one of the hospitals here had a patient quarantined, showing signs that, initially, at least being reported in the news, was suspected of Ebola. And, of course, we all know about the news that's been going on in Dallas and the situation there. And, boy, can you imagine? And some of you that listen to the show are from Dallas. I know, Jack, you're in Dallas. You know, I would be scared. Excuse my French, shitless. And I don't use that type of language on this show ever, but you know, it's scary stuff. It really, really is. It is for the first time on our shores. And, I told my wife, I said, if this case here in Hawaii is the real deal, I said, the health department better be very forthcoming, not necessarily who it is, but where, when, how, why, who they had exposure to, travel habits, did they go shopping? All this history that we all need to know, because the way this, this cruel, cruel virus and disease is it's like ping pong. You're close to somebody and, and they say bodily fluids, but you sneeze on a hand and put it on a table. It's just too easy. And I just think this thing in Dallas has a potential to get out of control. And if I have kids in those schools, my kids would not be in one of those, my kids would be out of those. And you just think about, okay, so this gentleman comes to the United States to visit family, exposes the greater family to the virus. The kids go to school. The kids may not be at all showing symptoms, but if they had been, ping pong, ping pong, ping pong, and those kids go home and the parents do, and the next thing you know, half of Dallas is sick. And from there, it would be, there'd be no stopping it. And I told my wife, I said, if this thing gets nuts, you got to be prepared to go into lockdown mode here. And, some people say, well, that's a little bit, you're a little bit over the top, Todd. No, I'm not. The safety and protection of my family is my job. And if I think that there is a risk to their health and life, it is my job to protect them. And if I say we're going on lockdown, we're going on lockdown. And we're not at that situation at all. And it turns out that this patient here in Hawaii is false alarm, thank goodness. But if I was in Dallas right now, and many of the Ohana from the show are, I think I would be my freak out meter would be really high. We've been hearing about this Ebola for years and years and years and years and years, right? And it's always been in West Africa and, sadly killing thousands there. But, it's the first time it's made Americans. I don't know about the politics of this, but it seems real simple. Stop air flights, shut down flights going to and from those countries that are coming to the United States and any passengers that have originated there. I'm sorry, until this thing cools off, shut her down. But I'm not in charge. So, love to hear what you guys say. I know this is not tech, but it's just one of those things that kind of struck close to home here. And it had me a little bit on the, maybe I have a tendency to overreact, but I would much rather overreact a little bit than to be in a mode of like, yeah, forget it. This is not going to affect us. And the next thing we know, we got tens of thousands of people dropping like flies here in Honolulu because of one person bringing in and being exposing other people. And, you know, that could happen, you know, and that's how they talk about pandemics going crazy. So, anyway, thank goodness it's post false alarm, but, man, my heart goes out to those parents and everyone in Dallas for the high amount of, for a better word, freak out time that you're probably, and maybe you're not. Maybe you're not worried. I don't know. I think I would be. I think I'd be tripping pretty hard for sure. Okay, so let's ping through here. What else have I got in my stack for you? I've got, talking about that. I already talked about this. Did I talk about the ghost video I saw a couple of shows ago? I had it here in the notes, but I don't remember if I talked about it. That ghost video that police department saw. That was, give me the heebie-jeebies. If you haven't seen it, just Google ghost video and police, and you'll find it. It was all over the news. But anyway, hey, my sister has started a business, and ladies and fellas, and again, you know, if I got a show here. I got a great audience, and if you're looking, maybe doing some shopping, she is doing knitting. Shawls and scarves and so anyway, I'll have a link up to her Facebook page. I don't think she's ready to take online orders yet, but if you see something you like, let me know. I've got the connection. I can get you hooked up. I think the prices are pretty reasonable, and they are truly handmade. They're not knitted in China. It's I keep telling her that she's charging too little for what she's making, but they're just getting started, so get in while it's still relatively inexpensive, all right? And I'll have that up in the show notes tonight. Okay, so let's go ahead and get into the stack of tech stuff. Do want to thank all of you that are insiders to the show. I want to thank you for your continued support of me and this podcast. And your donations go a long way, allowing us to do what we do and to continue to grow the show here as time goes on. Okay, so, oh crap, I forgot to press that. Well, so much for that. I missed one button tonight. The important one's running, though. Jeez, I got all excited. All right, let me talk something very serious in the tech side. We've talked about this on the show before. And I'm at a point where if I don't know exactly where a USB stick comes, it goes in the trash. USB sticks are kind of like, they're fun to have, right? We all have them carrying around our pocket. You know, this is what goes with me every day. I've got a verbatim 8 gig. I've got a 25-year anniversary Kingston that's an 8 gig. And then I have a, what is this one? This is just a small mini 2 gig, and I have certain files in each one. So why I carry 3? I don't know. They're on a little lug here, and it just goes with my pocket with my keys. And I do not allow these USB sticks to go in any machine but mine. If someone wants to send me a file these days, I will typically make them email it to me, which, you know, isn't 100% safe, but I have a big resistance to plugging my USB sticks into other machines. Now, if I do, what I have here at the house is I have a machine that is isolated. It basically is a older machine. It's got an antivirus on it. I connect it to the internet, you know, once a month or so and update the antivirus definitions on it. Then it gets unplugged from the internet. And really, that's this USB sticks, if it goes in another machine, I then scan that stick before it touches one of my machines. And it's just because this, you know, this is a big contamination site. Well, we talked about in the Black Hat Conference where USB sticks now are carrying payloads. And, you know, for a long time, even before I retired from the Navy, they had basically outlawed USB sticks largely because they're, you know, their stuff can be put on here that's bad. And you'll never know. It's embedded in, you know, these are like little mini computers is what they are. They have a little processor on them, and the they can be rewritten. The code that does the interface with your computer can be rewritten. And what they're finding and what they've been able to reveal and what they've talked about during the Black Hat, but which is now available online, is you essentially could plug a USB stick into your computer and it could run a program that would mimic keyboard punches or read your keyboard, what you've typed. All kinds of bad stuff can be payload delivered to your computer via a USB stick, and you have absolutely no way to protect yourself. Okay? So it's been 2 months since researcher Carson Knoll demonstrated an attack called Bad USB to a standing room only crowd at the Black Hat Security Conference. Now, today, two individuals are pushing the computer industry to fix this issue. But here's the problem. It's going to take 10 years or more to fix the problem with USB. Folks, these individuals have published the code for these attacks on GitHub. This raises the stakes for USB makers to either fix the problem or leave literally hundreds of millions of users vulnerable. This right here, this USB, and what I'm, for those of you listening, what I'm holding in my hand is my three USB sticks. It could cripple your infrastructure. You could be owned by simply sticking someone's stick into your machine. So I'm really, really even more anal now when it comes to accepting, you know, a file. I tell them, go put it up on Dropbox or, you know, upload it somewhere. If I don't have to touch it with their machine with a stick, I won't. And, you know, and my kids, I've put this lecture down hardcore. Do not share your USB sticks with your friends. Use Dropbox. You know, I've set this all up for them. Or use Google Drive. Put it up there. So, you know, there's a little bit of in between. And that way, if my kids stick a stick in someone's computer and it comes home and goes into their computer and it's on my network, we're all done. And especially my daughter. My daughter is not, you know, I'm a geek. She's not. She knows how to use a computer. She knows, goes to Instagram. She knows how to use Word. You know, she has to know how to use Google Docs. You know, she plays some games. But she just doesn't understand this. I've had to disinfect computers that she's been on at least half a dozen times. And matter of fact, because I know she has a tendency to get infected machines, I've got her particular machine firewalled. She it's that MAC address is MAP. There's no other machine in the house that is allowed to touch it. She's not allowed to touch the internal network. It's just one of those deals. It's just, you know, because she's not savvy enough to the point where I can trust her to, you know, not cause massive destruction to the rest of our computers. But this is a bad situation. So these security researchers who declined to name their employers, which is kind of scary, said that publicly releasing USB attack code will allow penetration testers to use a technique, all the better to prove their clients that USBs are nearly impossible to secure in the current form. And they also argue that making a working exploit available is the only way to pressure USB makers to change the tiny device's fundamental broken security scheme. And really, what is it? It's cheaper to program these on the fly than to build them with them already pre-programmed. Don't trust them. I'm just telling you. You see a USB stick on the ground, the best thing you could do is pick it up and throw it in the trash can. Do not take it home and stick it in the machine, as tempting as it will be. Because these are being used for industrial espionage and a variety of other very bad things. you know, you just don't find USB sticks laying around. But imagine if someone had went on a college campus and dropped at MIT and dropped 100 USB sticks on the ground, students being students, they will pick these up. And invariably what will happen is, you know, the university networks are pretty open. The next thing is the entire university is infected and has something going on, spying on students' work, professors. Maybe it makes it into sensitive areas and research areas, and it's all linked back to maybe China or a company, you know, country doing something with that data. So I've talked enough on this, but this is going to get worse before it gets better. And we're all going to have to be cognizant of using USBs correctly. Your USB should be bought from, number one, a reputable source. And again, I think like Kingston, Verbatim, they're probably pretty safe. But in the end, they still come from probably China. You know, more than likely. So at some point, we may start to see USB sticks being made that are made in America that have a high, for a better word, a high security level in the manufacturer. So just keep your eyes peeled. Don't be picking up USB sticks. Don't be cross-contaminating them in machines. As tempting as it is, use the online tools that are available, like Dropbox, to push files up, push files down, and keep your antivirus software up to date. And this includes you Mac users too. You are not protected by something like this, okay? With these USB sticks, you can get hacked. So that's big in the news. Wired and Gizmodo has articles on this. But again, this is unfixable at this point. And anyone can get their paws on this code now. And all they could do is they can go out and buy. These things sell cheap. You can buy 1,000 of these from promotional companies for less than $1 a piece. And they could load the exploit on every one of them and just, you know, leave them places. You know, and we're all, oh, there's a USB, like, grab it, you know, and the next thing you know, you're screwed. So just be aware, okay? All right, now, this next thing is borderline insanity. Various schools, libraries, and ordinary American families might have been using a security software called Computer Cop for years. Now, you may have got that copy from police offices, police departments, attorney's offices, or other branches of law enforcement, which tout it as a way to protect children online. Unfortunately, CounterCop isn't the digital protector children need, according to tests by Electronic Frontier Foundation. It's actually a key logging spyware that uploads unencrypted data to the software server. In other words, it uploads banks and email logins, social security numbers, among other sensitive data that can easily be intercepted and read by identity thieves, credit card hackers, and even the people they're trying to keep this information away from. Computer Cop is actually spyware. It's generally bought in bulk from a New York company that appears to do nothing but market this software to local government agencies. Law enforcement agency had purchased a poor product and slapped their trusted emblems on it and passed it out to everyday people. According to the foundation, law enforcement agencies typically buy between 1,000 and 5,000 copies of Computer Cop for a few dollars apiece. And yes, they use taxpayer dollars for the purchase. Within the past 2 years, for instance, several attorney offices, including San Diego's, bought 5,000 pieces for $25,000. The foundation reckons there might be over 1 million copies out there, but admits it's possible that very few people have actually installed it, as the testers found it quite difficult to use. So have you gotten one of these discs? Have you been offered one? And the way Computer Cop works is neither safe nor secure. it isn't particularly effective either in protecting someone. So, again, the Zurb product, keystroke capturing, they basically put your family's information at risk. And this thing doesn't even have any basic safety security guards. Law enforcement agencies are passing around, again, something can easily be used to steal. And if they also, people could take this to work and put it on a coworker's computer. The tool allows the user to review recent images and video downloads to the computer, but it will also scan the hard drive looking for documents containing phrases in the computer cop's dictionary, 1,000 keywords related to drugs, sex, gangs, and hate groups. While that feature may sound impressive, in practice, the software is unreliable. On some computer system, it produces a giant haystack of false positives, including flagging items as innocuous as raw computer code. On other systems, it only protect a handful of results, while typing keywords such as drugs into the Finder or File Explorer will turn up a few larger number of hits. So this is bad stuff, and it's being handed out by police agencies around the country and district attorney office and so forth. So I'm sure this practice will come to an end after these recent articles. But if you've got this on your computer, please be aware it is definitely not good to go. And there's a sheriff in, where was he at? In Texas, I think? Where was this guy at? He basically called, the sheriff called out the EFF saying they weren't credible and insisting Computer Cop isn't malware. And if people had used it before Columbine, it would have stopped Columbine. So anyway, this is something that's out there in the space. So be aware, okay? And if you've installed this on your computer, get it off. All right. Switching gears here completely. Google has asked to remove 500 million pirate search results basically over the past year or so. Google's been asked to remove 500 million copyright infringing URLs since it started counting 3 years ago. The listing of pirate sites in Google's search results has turned into a heated conflict. So basically, the requests have just shot up. This is incredible. This is just an amazing number here. So if you look at this chart that Google provided, and this is an article that's over on Torrent Freak, is the chart basically shows in 2012 a pretty low number, but starting in February of 2013 through November 2013, Google is getting as many as 1 million takedown requests a day. More than 2 million Pirate Bay pages alone have been quietly wiped from Google. Torrent Freak asked Google for a comment on the most recent milestones, but the company has not chosen to respond on the record. Not only is it the RIAA and companies like that here in the United States, but the UK music industry group BPI is also responsible for roughly 20% of the submitted URLs and points out that Google should do more to lower the visibility of unauthorized content in search results. So this is just a huge number, and you might even never know that you had a page that was wiped by these folks. So you just could have just happened and you didn't even know it. But can you imagine that? 1 million links a day? People are some pretty, I guess for a better word, they have huge appetites for media, right? If they're removing 1 million links a day, that's pretty crazy. It really, really is. All right, it's that time of year again. Clean your PC scam. Telemarketers seem to be targeting older people, so warn your relatives. People have been calling parents' homes trying to sell folks these clean your PC and make it faster programs. I actually had an email come in from one of those companies that says, hey, Todd, I'd like to review a clean your PC program and you talk about it on your show and we'll give you some copies to give away. And I was like, nope. But be careful here and warn those in your households that may be more susceptible to these types of calls. A caller's word in a way demanding urgency saying they had a record of their PC having serious issues from bad files downloaded from the internet. And people are trying to sell services that probably, in a better word, are not ill regard for, well, just basic is not good. You can't talk tonight. All right, the Play Store over on Android has renamed Chromecast category to Google Cast. And it kind of makes sense because there's going to be all kinds of third-party products coming out that is going to be TV-connected devices. So this is exciting stuff here. The branding, again, helps clear up confusion and really starts drawing a line between Chromecast, the streaming TV-connected device, and Google Cast, which it will be the way different devices talk to each other and hand off content. So, of course, this is a lot to do with the commercial release of the Android TV as well. So, very, very cool stuff here. Angelo was telling me, there's no Android TV. I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh, I haven't been paying attention. And so that's forthcoming. We'll get to see that. All right, consumer advocates urge Justice Department to block Comcast-Time Warner Cable merger. So this battle continues. Now, we all got to comment on the FCC with the FCC, but what's going on at the same time is other agencies are looking at the merger and the Department of Justice is doing the same. And really, as private citizens, we don't really have a way to make an input to the Department of Justice. But right now, behind the scenes, consumer organizations and Consumers Union, who is runs the advocacy arm of Consumer Report, have officially chimed in asking the Department of Justice to watch out for the interests of consumers and block the merger. So kind of interesting move here. If you're not a Consumer Report fan, that should up their cred just a little bit. So there are 25 states signed on as groups to review the proposed transaction. This is in addition to other state review processes like those at the New York Public Services Commission. Officials at the DOJ have been quietly looking at the merits of the merger since March. And that investigation included an interview with media companies like Disney and CBS, where the Department of Justice looked into the same kind of potential anti-competitive deals that the FCC has been trying to ask about. So there's no official comment here yet, but in their formal opposition, Consumers Union argues the potential harms that could result both to consumers and to businesses in the merger of Comcast and Time Warner. And in a nutshell, those harms are killing competition, squashing innovation, and blocking media diversity. And this is what this show is all about, is about media diversity. And the last thing we want is have any of you have this show blocked because of a merger of Time Warner and so forth. Hey, Spitballs in the chat room, good evening. Kim.com has part ways with the music service that he helped create. Well, apparently, and I didn't know this, but Baboom, B-A-B-O-O-M, it, again, was a streaming service started by Mega Upload founder Kim.com. And the company and him have parted ways in hope of improving its relationship with musicians it needs to recruit on the service. The parting is, it isn't a bad one. It's been, they parted ways amicably. I think Kim.com sold his interest in Baboom. So he put up on his Twitter page, "Goodbye at Baboom. I was holding you back. The music industry hates me. You'll do better without me. Good luck, my love." And I didn't really realize that he was involved in that. So I guess a guy that does has a way for people to share music and stuff through a locker probably didn't win the hearts and minds of artists very well. We've always talked about SpaceX. We've talked about Boeing having gotten the contract from NASA, but Sierra Nevada is obviously it was left holding nothing. And Sierra Nevada Corp is challenging the NASA decision and the GAO, the General Accountability Office, is likely to issue its ruling on the challenge filed on January 5th of 2015. But whatever the outcome of that litigation, Sierra Nevada Corp has gotten a mentor in the form of Paul Allen, co-founder of Microsoft. And Paul Allen is said on Wednesday that he is considering buying a three-person version of the Dream Chaser for its own, for its very own orbital space transportation system. So I guess he's going to put some money into this. So I guess the Dream Chaser lives on. And I think that basically they were too far behind. It's one of the reasons why they didn't get any of the NASA money. And it probably is a death blow to them ultimately if they are not able to raise enough cash. I didn't even know that Lotus 1-2-3, many of you that are part of this show are like, what is that? But Lotus 1-2-3 is officially done. IBM has dropped support for Lotus 1-2-3. And it was once a serious competitor for Excel. And prior to that, Multiplan, and many of you probably will remember VisiCalc, many hours using VisiCalc. And I doubt anyone is creating a new Lotus 1-2-3 spreadsheets. There's probably some spreadsheets still being used. Even Office 2013 still has some reach back to Lotus 1-2-3. But how the mighty have fallen. And that's the case with Lotus 1-2-3. And be honest with you, I'm like, that's still around? I was like, really? I thought that was like booted a long time ago. You know, I don't think I've even heard anything of Lotus 1-2-3 in at least the last, oh my gosh, 10, at least 10 or more years. So when I saw that today, I was like, huh? So I guess they were still supporting it. Pretty crazy, yeah? Okay, so I want to talk about my decision that I made. Some of you may have saw it on Facebook or Google Plus. But I did make the decision to go with the iPhone 6 Plus charcoal gray. I don't think many of you are probably shocked at that decision. I'm still going to continue to use my Android tablet and, you know, enjoy Android. And I'll be getting Android phones to review. But after having used the Samsung Galaxy S5 and falling in love with the bigger screen, and having looked at the size of the 6 Plus, and considering how I've been using my phone a lot in the last couple of years, I decided to go with the 6 Plus. So Barry, who is our finance director and legal officer at Raw Voice pays for my mobile phone. And my decision and Barry's, Barry's going to go with a Moto X. Brian's going with the Moto X. Jeff, myself, and Angela are all getting 6 Pluses. I was shocked that Angela went with a 6 Plus. He's got another Android device, too. He's got two phones. But he went to the Verizon store, and this was in Grand Rapids, Michigan, because that's where Barry lives. And I'm expecting November, Thanksgiving, maybe I'll get the 6 Plus. I wasn't really too... And he texts me, says, and it counts under my name, but he takes care of me. He said, hey, text me the last four on your social. And I text him back, and I said, what's going on? He said, well, I'm getting the phones ordered. And I said, what'd they say for a delivery date? He said, dude, are you ready? I'm like, what? You know, I'm texting back. He says, they're going to ship them on October 3rd. Like, no, he said, they're going to ship them on the 3rd. And I was like, oh. And I said, wow, November 3rd. He said, no. October 3rd. I was like, huh? How is that possible? So apparently, because we're getting the 128 gig model, is that particular model has a higher availability because it's basically their best phone, highest storage, and not as many people are ordering the top-end storage. So I don't care. I'm like, yes. Because my camera could work it on my iPhone 5. It's black now. It doesn't work. And I call it the selfie camera. That one works. But this Monday went dead. It's black. I didn't drop it or nothing. So I have no idea what's going on. But this phone now, I didn't get the battery replaced. I'm still going to do that. I'm still going to get the battery replaced. Is that it basically has no battery life. I just took it off the charger you know, less than 30 minutes ago, it's down to 70%. I have to keep it on the charger almost all the time. It just dies. And so that, you know, it's time. And what I'm going to try to do is this weekend go to Apple Store and while it's still hooked up to the carrier, make an appointment with the Genius Store because this is one of the recalled ones. And maybe, maybe they'll give me a different phone and I'll get a camera that works. But we will see. It's obviously out of warranty, but time will tell. But anyway, there's a brilliant website that tracks iPhone 6 availability in every single U.S. Apple store. And so if you want to track one, iStockNow.com is the place to go. They will tell you where and what quantities or if they have them in stock, the phone you're looking for. So be aware of that, okay? iStockNow. Over on Computer World, the FCC is accused of helping net neutrality advocates file comments. And, you know, so many people filed that, the groups that want the merger to go through are, I want the net neutrality thing to, you know, are advocates for a decision against or for, I guess. Is it for or against? I think we're all against, you know, we're for net neutrality, so they would be against net neutrality. But anyways, a bunch of groups basically said, oh, you help people make comments. And no, the FCC says, no, we worked with these groups that were driving a lot of traffic to keep our site online so everyone could make comments. And but they're under fire for basically, you know, trying to keep their website up. It's one of those times that, you know, the government actually tried to do the right thing and make it happen. But someone has to always complain, right? Well, if you work at Apple, holy smokes, they've got it. The benefit package over there is incredible. But being an employee has its benefits, and it's gotten a lot better. Apple's head of HR announced on Thursday that Apple would be expanding the benefits program rather substantially. Fortune reports that some of the new perks include longer parental leave, reimbursement for any classes taken, an expanded donation matching program, refinancing on student loans, and stock acceleration in the event of an employee death. This is just a few of the things that Apple's doing to expand their benefits. They're just trying to keep their employees because there's, you know, they can't do the thing that Steve Jobs was doing and trying to keep from poaching. So these folks are all probably being heavily recruited all the time. I was recruited 3 times this week. It's true. And headhunters calling me and trying to recruit me. And, you know, I'm like, it was some pretty interesting jobs, to say the least. So I think the Washington Post article put me on some list because it's all of a sudden I'm getting calls from headhunters, but that hasn't happened in a long time. But, anyway, very cool that the folks at Apple, you know, it's nice. You know, they're making enough money. They should do this. Let's talk about this cybersecurity crap. JP Morgan today announced that 75 million households exposed in cyber breach. Some 7 million small businesses were also compromised in the computer attack over the summer. Far, 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 far more than the 1 million customer accounts initially thought to be breached. So, you know how, you know, this, it's interesting how these stories go, right? So here we had the White House intruder that only made it through the front door and he got taken out by a Secret Service agent, right? And then they go to the hearing and what is the truth is? Well, this guy made it all the way to the East Room, you know, before being taken. He actually, the intruder actually, hurt or basically took out one of the security guards and he made it all the way to the East Room with before an off-duty Secret Service guy tackled this dude. Now, that in itself is like, what? You know, how come they didn't shoot this guy to begin with, you know? I don't care what your politics are. That is absolutely unacceptable that the White House was breached and even if the president wasn't there, it doesn't matter. It wasn't right, you know? Let's be straight up. This is, we don't want anything happen to any the family, the president. It's, you know, I don't care what your politics are. I think we all get behind that. So, you know, it's the story that came out in the news and then the reality at the hearings, right? And then, of course, the guy getting in the elevator with the president with a gun. And I'm just like, you got to be kidding me, you know? This is just, what are they doing over there? So now, here we got this story with Chase, J.P. Morgan.
Oh, it was only $1 million.
And now, the regulatory filing, contact information for 76 million households. 7 million. I have business. I do business with Chase. I've not got an email from them. Have not got a letter. I have a business account. I have a personal account with Chase. And have I heard from them? No. Am I a small business? Yes. Is there more than 7 million small businesses in the United States? Yes. So are they going to start informing people that were affected? Apparently, our names, addresses, email addresses. No evidence, however, that account numbers, passwords, user IDs, dates of birth, or social security numbers were compromised. I've changed all my passwords anyway. Now, I heard about JP Morgan Chase having this issue in the summer. I went through and immediately did a full reset of every password I had with them. And matter of fact, I've been doing that on a regular basis now. And it's insane that I have to go through. And but my banking stuff, now I'm changing, like, you know, I kind of have a reminder that comes up in my appointment calendar. So change your passwords. About every 30 to 40 days, I'm doing a complete, I'm using a randomizer to make a random password. I don't generate it myself. So, you know, here we are, JP Morgan, 76 million households. That's a lot. And it's probably almost everyone that probably has an account with them. It's incredible. It really is. Switching gears here to some science news. Satellites have revealed hidden features at the bottom of the Earth's oceans. Oceanographers have a saying, scientists know more about the surface of Mars than they do about the landscape at the bottom of our ocean, but that may soon change. Using data from satellites that measure variations in the Earth's gravitational fields, researchers have found a new and more accurate way to map the seafloor. The improved resolution has already allowed them to identify previously hidden features, including thousands of extinct volcanoes, more than 1,000 meters tall, as well as piece together some lingering uncertainties in Earth's ancient history. Roughly 90% of the deep ocean seafloor remains unmapped. So they got some satellites up there now. They're doing some cool stuff, and they're starting to be able to see where all these underwater extinct volcanoes are. So it's pretty cool. You know, here we are at this point in our history, and it's true. They know more about Mars' surface than they do about what lays in our deepest part of our oceans. I should have talked about this when I was talking about the iPhone 6, but how much faster is the new iPhone Wi-Fi than your old iPhones? Well, apparently, the iPhone 5 on 802.11n was capable of 101.1 megabits per second. The iPhone 6 Plus is an 802.11ac, is capable of 278 megs per second. There was some head-to-heads done where, let's see if I can find it. Oh, did I have it in the stack here yet? Oh, no, I don't. Oh, I had it, thought I had it lined up here. Okay, there was a head-to-head competition. I'll tell you who it was when we get to the article. I apologize. It was supposed to be here in a consecutive stack. I must have placed it in the wrong spot. The folks at Apple have also released a tool to check the activation lock. So if you're going to buy a phone on eBay or someplace, you can ask them for the IMEI number or the serial number. And what this will do, it'll make sure that the iPhone activation lock is turned off and the device is ready for you to use when you get it. So this is going to be a way as a security feature that prevents anyone from erasing or activating your iOS device without entering your Apple ID. But of course, what this is really going to do, the new tool gives you the process of checking for an activation lock easier and prevents people from buying a device that might have been locked because it was lost or stolen. So just be aware that that is now a situation. Now, what it'll tell you, it's going to give you a message. If the lock is on, it's going to say the current user's Apple ID and password will be required before anyone else can activate and use this device. So if it's off, it tells you it's off. And it's pretty cool. I experimented with it a little bit with mine, and it works real well. Okay. It looks like camera roll is coming back to iOS 8. That's one thing I do hate is the way the camera pictures roll works now. So I'm glad they're bringing back the camera roll. That was probably ill thought out. A lot of bad decisions by the folks over at Apple and some of the things they did on iOS 8. Also, the popular reading app Instapaper is now free on iOS and Android, so be aware of that. Thanks to new subscription model, it plans to take on Instapaper's making its mobile applications available at no cost starting today. That said, the reading app does plan to lure in users to a premium tier, recently created, which costs $3 a month or $30 a year. So be aware that that is out available. Roku, my favorite device in the whole world. Roku has released a new screen mirroring feature that's in beta, and this is fantastic. So what they're going to do is, for some time now, of course, Android users have had the ability to stream content from their mobile devices to their Roku set-top box. However, the company today announced the release of a new feature that puts it at par with a device that supports mirroring with either Chromecast or Miracast. The Roku screen feature has been released in beta today for Windows 8.1 and Android devices. It's available for users around the world and will allow them to mirror anything and everything from device to the Roku 3 and Roku streaming stick. So very, very good. Outstanding. You can watch this show. You got your Roku, get it upgraded, be on your Android, start the video playing, and push it to your Roku so you can watch me in living color. You don't even have to load the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku. It's going to be more easy to watch me and on your big 70-inch screen TV. And we encourage you to do that. Just what you wanted to do, right, is watch some dude talking about tech for an hour. I hope you do. All right, Office 365 plans have been announced. So basically they've offered to put a couple more tiers in. With an annual commitment, Office 365 Business is now going to cost $8.25 per user per month. Includes all Office applications such as Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Outlook, and Publisher, and OneNote, and also as well as OneDrive for business cloud storage, allowing business users to access, share, and edit documents across Windows, Mac, iPad, Windows tablets, and smartphones. The new Business Essentials plan will cost $5 per user per month. Will include core cloud services such as Office Online, OnDrive, OneDrive for business, 50 gig email, contacts, and shared calendar. For $12.50 per user per month, Office 365 Business Premium brings everything that included in both the aforementioned plans. There's a 300-seat cap for all three of these plans. So no more buying licenses. You're buying seats. Google Docs works pretty good. Facebook is basically kowtowing, and they are apologizing. Facebook announced stricter guidelines for research and experiments on us. And after studying whether emotion manipulation in newsfeed can make people sad, that obviously turned into a PR disaster, Facebook now has a formal review process for pre-approving research on its users and research at Facebook website to centralize all academic work done on its enormous data sets. Facebook admitted to screwing up with the emotion study, explaining, "We were unprepared for a reaction that paper received when it was published and have taken to heart the comments and criticism. It is clear now that there are things we should have done differently. For example, we should have considered other non-experimental ways to do this research. The research would also benefit from more extensive review by a wider and more senior group of people. Last, in releasing the study, we failed to communicate clearly why and how we did it." That's as far as you're going to get with an apology from Facebook. Now, Facebook is not changing how it receives consent from user experiment on them. And it doesn't mention any external auditors for research, which could alarm some academics here. Calling for both Facebook bakes consent into its long legalese of terms of service statements So you just automatically surrender to experimentation just for using the social network. Bet you didn't know that, right? So I have the link up in the show notes. Celebrities hit by the nude hack threaten Google with a lawsuit. Well, here's my comment to celebrities. Are you stupid? Are you idiots? Do you have a D on your forehead? That's dunce? All right, you're a celebrity, right? You are a high-profile person. Someone hacks your account and gets your nudie pictures and downloads them and puts them online. What do you expect? First of all, why are you an idiot taking pictures of yourself naked? Now, if I went into the bathroom and used my blacked-out camera here to take a picture of me naked, you guys would all throw up in your mouth, maybe on the floor. But why, they don't say this is a bank. They don't say this is a safety deposit box. These mobile phones are not designed to be like a super high security device. You think they are, right? You think they are. But obviously the hackers have been social engineering and using kinds of workarounds to go in and grab your nudie pics. Don't take any picture on your phone that you wouldn't be embarrassed if your grandmother saw it. You know, what does my daughter do with my phone? She grabs my phone. Dad, unlock it. You know, she's 18, right? What does she do? Flip, 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 looking through my pictures. What's this? Flip, 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 flip. What's that? You know, my son is always taking pictures of stuff. You know, there's nothing on this phone that I would be embarrassed of. It's their own stupid fault for having their naked pictures of themselves and their boyfriends or girlfriends or significant others or whatever, you know, their partners on the phone. $100 million? Please. You know, give me a break. Some of them probably released them themselves. Look at the free publicity you got. Half of them are naked anyway on big screen, so what's the difference? All right, you NFL fans, it happened. The FCC voted to repeal the NFL's decade-old blackout protection. Woohoo! The league still has the power to include sellout provisions in TV contracts. But, however, if it chooses to do so, a pair of U.S. senators warned that it could lose its antitrust exemption. What is that anyway? And tax benefits, which you believe these guys still get tax benefits? In a letter to NFL Commissioner Robert Goodell, yesterday Senator John McCain and Richard Blumenthal urged the league to end the policy that's no longer justified in today's environment by nixing rules that punish those same fans. The senators already introduced a bill that ties the NFL's perks to its complete elimination of the blackout rules in last year's Furthering Access and Network for Sports at Fans Act. I wasn't even aware of that. So if the NFL fails to show leadership to finally end blackouts once and for all, Congress will be forced to act. Really? Do you think they can do that? Congress will be forced to act? Who are they kidding? Oh my gosh. About a bunch of worthless, old, grumpy old men and women at Congress. All of them. Whatever party, Republican or Democrat, they can't get nothing done except hold out their hand and say, give me some more money. Jeez. I'm sure the NFL commissioner is shaking in his boots. Oh, man, it's killing me. It's just, back in the day, that may have been taken seriously. But today, I think we all just like, whatever. We just roll our eyeballs, right? They can't get nothing done. All right. CyanogenMD has refused Google's money. And you guys know who CyanogenMD is, right? Cyanogen, and am I pronouncing it wrong? It basically, Cyanogen allows us to load all kinds of apps that maybe Google doesn't want us to load, including same thing with the iPhone. So considering the fact that Cyanogen's third-tier mobile OS, essentially more open version of Android, it's no surprise here that they've come under the attention of Mountain View. And but basically, they said, hey, we're not taking Google's money. We want to keep things open. Google doesn't want this thing to go away, to be honest with you. But it appears that Cyanogen, and again, if I'm pronouncing it wrong, I'm just, it's tough. The investors are being told that the company struck a deal with Micromax to build Cyanogen-based phones, Equin's partnership with OnePlus to make its flavor of Android into the One. It's also too early to say if Cyanogen's efforts will pay off in the long term, but the company is definitely on Google's radar. Hey, Google, raw voice, come. Hey, we can chat. Your money spends real well over here. You wanna have a chit chat? Hey, anything with enough zeros on the end is for sale. All right, you guys camp in Hawaii? We go to the beach and we camp. That's our camping. But if you do some camping, your next sleeping bag might not have a zipper. So that's all I'm gonna say about that. I'll have a link up in the show notes. It's a new type of sleeping bag. The way I look at it, it's one of those light ones, like good down to like 30 degrees. I don't know how well this is going to fly, but it's getting some press. How many of you thinking about updating a router? Well, if you're in the market for a router, the folks at Engadget have a review of 4 of them and give some recommendations. So if your router's getting a little bit long in the tooth, I seem like every about 3 years I'm upgrading a router, and it's, you know, what really amazed me. Time is flying, folks. And I, you know, it's just like, okay, my Mac, you know, I was shocked how long I've had this Mac. This monitor right here that's in front of me, I got this in 2008. I'm like, how is that possible that that's been sitting there for 6 years? You know, I'm thinking to myself, I just bought that last week, right? And, you know, just some stuff that, you know, I'm looking at, and you know, it's perfectly fine. It's working great. I'm not having any issues. I did think about maybe going to a more photocorrect type of a monitor, but just the price is way, way, way out in its stratosphere right now from a budget standpoint. But you know, it's this stuff lasts quite a while now, and I'm just really shocked. You know, and I think about it from a business perspective. You know, I have about 3 years on electronics to write off stuff that's here in the studio. Personal stuff, I can't write off as a business expense. But, and I have to use my, you know, home money, et cetera. I can't use a business check to buy the kids' computers. So, you know, every year I do a little bit of stuff here. But, you know, the router stuff, I can justify buying that as part of the company stuff. So what I've started doing was I'm actually putting dates on stuff this year. I'm actually putting 2000, you know, putting a little sticker on, put 2014, because, you know, I forget how long or how old some of this stuff is. And it can really sneak up on you in a hurry. And the replacement rate is not as high. You know, I think at my iPad that I have, I think I'm on a Gen 2 iPad. It's still, or maybe Gen 3. It's still working great. I don't need a new iPad. My wife is on a Gen 2. Hers is a little bit long in the tooth, and she was actually complaining about something the other day, so maybe that's something that, well, Santa Claus will have to get her for Christmas. But, you know, it's amazing how long some of these electronics last now. I think printers is the thing I replace the most around here, but anyway, you might want to do that. You know, look at the, you know, put a sticker on a piece of gear that you buy and see how much life you get out. But if you're looking for a router, I'll have this link up in the show notes for you. All right, Tesla is promising a self-driving model next year. Last night, Elon Musk told the world that Tesla is ready to reveal its D on October 9th. As 10-year anniversary of this show, as well as preparing us for something else to expect along the way. But the CEO isn't done teasing just yet. In a recent interview with CNN, Musk let it be known that a Tesla car next year will probably be 90% capable of autopilot, though he didn't dive into any specifics about which model this comes. This comment was in reference to, so 90% of them of your miles could be on auto. So that's interesting development. I just want a Tesla I can afford. But apparently next week, they're going to show us the D, the new, and it's being rumored is probably the SUV that they've been under development for a long time. But the internet had fun with the D announcement today for obvious reasons. All right, Flipboard is now finally arriving for Windows Phone, is and it's officially released. It's one that actually works, not like the last time when it was released prematurely and didn't flip. So that's available. Also, if you guys use AdBlock, and you're going to be happy to know that Facebook's new Atlas people tracking system, which isn't very popular, is now being effectively blocked by AdBlock. So if you're an AdBlock fan, just to let you know, that's what's going on. Okay, so I told you earlier that the iPhone 6, the Galaxy S5, and the HTC One M8 went head-to-head. So all you Android fans out there, and I'm noticing online, it used to be PC Mac. It was the desktops or the laptops. It was this, the haters would come out. You drink the Kool-Aid, you're on a Windows machine. That was the battle. Now it's all about mobile phones. The haters are just out of control. And it's fun to watch. It's like this new generation has found a way, found their, yes, I'm a Mac user, or I'm an iPhone user. Yes, I'm an Android user. And then they smash heads against one another, calling each other names. Those of you that have been here for a long time, we had some of that even going on in this show. So because what did I have? Mostly PCs in the beginning, and I wasn't a big Mac lover. I was using Macs, tolerated. Now I use Macs a lot more than I have in the past. I like the iPad and the iPhone, or I wouldn't have got the 6 Plus. So, but anyway, they went head to head. And many were quick to make fun of Apple and the hardware specs under the iPhone 6 hood. After all, we're talking about a dual-core processor with only a gig of RAM versus today's Android phones with sport quad octa-core chipsets and 2 gigs of RAM or more. So they did some head-to-head tests. Guess who won? It wasn't the HTC One. And matter of fact, the Samsung Galaxy S5 simply got smoked. Sorry, the iPhone 6 won in all the speed tests that they did. You can watch the 4-minute, 17-second video and come to your own conclusion. It's over on ubergizmo.com. But not saying I'm horrible. I am trying to egg you guys on big way. And you guys know I love you all. I love everyone's opinions and phones. And after all, it's just a phone, right? Geeknews@gmail.com. I'm sure someone is going to have some good articles for me to contest what I have just said. But I hope you guys will find them and bring them to my attention, because it's good fun. Geeknews@gmail.com. Now, I'm not, I spent a lot of time. I had to be careful here. And there's a segment of this audience that lives in some countries that I probably have no desire to go back. But I will say this. I've been to Dubai, and of all the countries in the Middle East, Dubai is pretty modern. It's pretty nice. It's shockingly beautiful in the amount of money that they spent. But ultimately, it's still in the middle of the desert. But that being said, Dubai police have begun to issue detectives with Google Glass. And it's going to help them fight crime using facial recognition technology. So the Gulf Arab Emirates state is basically giving these police officers the ability to you know, do something that we're pretty much not excited about here in the United States. It's actually doing the facial recognition of people using the camera. The gadget would be used in the first phase to combat traffic violations and track vehicles suspected of involvement in motoring offenses. A second phase would see the technology rolled out to detectives, the spokesman said. The U.S. internet company said in a blog spot in May that anyone in the United States could buy the gadget for... Okay, Dubai's decision appears in line with the authorities' determination to spare no expense and equipping the police. Of course, last year, Dubai announced it would supply its police with $400,000 Lamborghini sports cars for use at major tourist sites. And here's part of the reason. If you've ever went outside of Dubai and went to one of the other cities, there's these long, straight roads that are just, how should we say it, built for speed. I have, how should we say, been triple digits on some of those highways before. So having one of those types of vehicles is not surprising for me, for the police force. But anyway, Google Glass being used to fight crime in Dubai. If you're a Mac user, Tweetbot 3.5 has been out. It's also got iPhone 6 support, interactive notifications, and iOS 8 extensions. Also, those of you that are big Nerf fans, yes, Nerf, there's an incredible foam blaster. This thing, when you guys, okay, you know, ladies, you've got a husband that's weird, or kids that love to play, and that includes the dads. It's a Nerf Rhino machine gun, and this thing is awesome. It shoots two Nerf foamies at a time, and comes with a tripod, so you can use it like a Gatling gun. It comes with a reloadable turret. This thing is awesome. I don't know how much it cost, but it holds 50 rounds before you need to change the change it out. Of course, you got to go find all of the all the little foamies that you've shot out. But yeah, I saw this and I was like, oh, this is too cool. But anyway, if you have fun with your kids with one of these, wear eye protection, please. We don't want no one to get their eyeballs punctured with a little foamy. You buy groceries from Amazon? I don't. But now you can buy a new flavor of Pepsi directly from Amazon. Pepsi's embracing Stevia leaf extract with a new soda called True, but you won't find it at your local grocery store. Curious beverage fans will have to buy it on Amazon. So this is kind of an interesting move here. You know, Pepsi's trying to do something that is tastes sweet, but no high fructose corn syrup. And I think we all can agree that less high fructose corn syrup that we're consuming would be better. So Pepsi isn't hiding the sugar content, but it's emphasizing that True has 30% fewer calories than a regular Pepsi. A 7.5-ounce can has 60 calories. It'll be sold in packs of 24. These mini cans will be available on Amazon in mid-October, though the pricing hasn't been given yet. Like Surge, it will likely be able for free shipping through Amazon Prime. So it's using stevia, sugar and stevia combination. It's a kind of a mixed message here from Pepsi, but it's kind of an interesting move that they're launching this on Amazon. I'll be honest with you, this is my weakness, and this is what I've been allowing myself since I've been on my new kind of trying to lose weight kick. I've been limiting myself to one soda a week, and kind of my poison reward at this point is Mountain Dew. I know it's got like half the can is sugar. But God, I love a nice cold Mountain Dew. And I tried to cut back completely, like on Coke. I don't drink diet. I do drink the full bolded version when I do. Anyway, that this is a new product here. We have to have at least you know, we got to have a little bit of fun in life, right? It's all not about trying to be healthy all the time. It's tough. It's tough eating the healthy stuff. Believe it or not, my daughter being a vegetarian has helped a little because she cooks a couple nights a week. And as much as I give her crap about being a vegetarian, you know, I'm a country boy, grew up in, you know, farm area, and it was meat and potatoes, you know, and it's, you know, it's probably a good thing ultimately for me. All right, let's talk about CNET article over there talking about Google Glass again. Real-time real-world captioning comes to Google Glass. A new app for Google Glass captions conversations in real time. So if someone's speaking, it will do a closed caption. So this is pretty cool. I guess I'm going to have to get the Google Glass out of the container, get the lenses put on it, and start playing around with it, see how well it works. Also, a new feature to Dropbox adds export files to SD cards. And this is a new option for the Android app. Looking at my time here, I guess I'm doing bad. How bad am I on time? Oh my God, I'm really long. I'm sorry, everybody. Article in Life Hacker talks about the most ticketed cars in the U.S. Finally, also, what if a drone flies into your yard? Would you shoot it down with a shotgun? Well, some guy did in New Jersey. He got arrested for it, but he blasted a drone that wasn't his that came into his yard. And finally, Starbucks is in the news. They denied a pregnant woman use of a bathroom. So any company or any outlet that denies a pregnant woman to not to use the bathroom, I think in my book, deserves some lack of drinking their coffee for a few days at the very least. Okay, let's wrap up here. I didn't really mean to go this long. I just got enthralled tonight with the show, having too much fun. I hope you guys had fun tonight. And let me open up the email here real quick. And hopefully there isn't too much from the last show. So this year we did a show on Monday, the 27th. So anything after the 28th. So I got an email here from... okay, is that right? That's the right date. Let me look at the date again here. Today is the 2nd, yeah, the 29th, so anything after the 30th. Okay, I got an email from Jack. He said, hey, Todd, I've used Windows Home Server since 2004 and still have one running, but like you, I believe it's getting a little long in the tooth and its support is nearing the end of its life cycle, so I have been looking for alternatives, and I'm currently testing Microsoft Storage Spaces in Synology Disk Station. Synology Disk Station, I purchased a little two-drive unit, DS211J. The operating system is a version of Linux called Disk Station. It works great. I've had no issues. I started with two terabyte drives and later purchased 2 3-terabyte WD Red drives and swapped them out in and out one at a time, let the Disk Station rebuild its array, and then installed the other with no problem. Synology has all sizes of units with any options you would like. Look at the DS414. It's a 4-bay unit. You mentioned it's low power, updated options, which include security bugs like the Heartbleed and Bash. Has a great interface with lots of server options from HTTPS with its own certificates. You can create or import directory services, backup apps, including Amazon Glacier, and even a mail server. The downside, unlike Windows Home Server, you can't take a drive out and read it on another machine. But then if you want RAID 5, you won't be able to do that anyway. You will need your own backup software on external machine to back up them on this station. I have used Windows 8 file history, auto backup feature with no issue. Storage space, I've been testing Microsoft Storage Spaces for a couple of years now and find it reliable and very flexible. Storage space is available in all Windows 8 machines and Windows Server 2012 later. So the downside, and I'm not going to read the rest of Jack's email here, but... So some good ideas here. He says, I hope this helps you transition away from Windows Home Server. Mine is still running. I guess I'll let it run till it dies. Jack, Windows Home Server is going to run till it dies, but I just need stuff. The video and it's getting all the CES data. It's just, you know, it's becoming a little crazy here on storage. I'm having a hard time keeping track of it all. Got an email from Jack. From David. Say, hey, Ted, I'm watching show number 982 about the big 5-0 doctor visit. If you haven't seen the Collectoral Surgeon song, watch this on YouTube. When I heard it on cruise ships a few times, these guys have the best graphics. I did watch it, and thanks, David. I appreciate that, and I'll definitely share with everyone else. Also got an email from Jeff. He says, surprise, Microsoft jumps to Windows 10. Okay, why'd they do that? That's the question. It's a strange twist here. I guess, is 9 some unlucky number or something? I don't know. Also got an email here from Todd that's our host of The Elder Divide that you'll definitely want to check out at elderdivide.com. Todd, watch a show on Monday. How about the free NAS Mini available from Amazon? That one is a little pricey there, Todd. $995. The solution Jack promoted was about 500 diskless. I've got drives already, so that $1,000 just, you know, we need a lot more insiders to make donations before I buy a $1,000 NAS. I know it'll last a long time, but just that's probably $500-$600 more than I really wanted to spend, to be quite honest with you. Also, got an email from Nicholas. He's talking about the Duo screen. And I got this email from two different people that listen to the show. I actually think we got an email from Spitballs on this as well. But the Duo screen computer monitor and Kickstarter. I'm just put the link up and let you guys see this. But Duo screen re-envisions your standard desk environment by providing the most advanced second screen for your laptop. This is a pretty cool Kickstarter if you're looking for a second screen for your laptop and you don't want to use a monitor and something that will store and maybe keep the wife off your butt when you have a laptop somewhere in the house. So it's about a $300 buy-in on Kickstarter. They're raising a lot of money. It'll definitely fund, and I'll have that link up in the show notes. All right, since we're like crazy long here, thanks everyone. Thanks all of you that are insiders. We'll catch up with everybody's names here at the next show. But I definitely appreciate all of you. If you got value for value tonight, if you had fun, if you were entertained, if you laughed, if you found some ideas to go save some money, become an insider here. $2, $5, $10, $15, $25 a month. Help me out build this show and become an insider at geeknesscentral.com/insider. For all of our insiders, our GNC 1000 folks, and I keep using those terms intermixed here, thank you. Thank you for your ongoing support. And of course, all of the HANA, throw an iTunes review up there, put a link to the show, write about us in your blog, mention us in your Facebook page. Whatever you can do to support the show is definitely appreciated. It's been my pleasure to bring the show to you tonight. When you email me, let me know about yourself. I want to hear a little bit about you. So, you know, Nicholas and Jeff and all you guys, catch me up. What's going on in your lives? I definitely want to hear from you. Jack, you too. Jack, Emma, Small Biz, Robert, all you guys. So I want to keep up to date. And everyone that does, we definitely want to know what's going on in your lives as well. All right, that's it. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you. We're out of here. Take care next time, and we'll see you on Monday. Everyone, take care. Aloha.